As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places, Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from several sources which will be interspersed with reflections. The first reading is from Laurie Anderson, an American avant-garde artist, composer, musician, and film director. Shortly before she wrote this piece, the United States sent the Voyager spacecraft out into the universe with a message for anyone or anything that might find it. This included line drawings of people. In one line drawing, the male figure is holding up his hand in a gesture of greeting, of saying hello. And her piece reads, "You're driving, and it's dark, and it's raining, and you took a turn back there, but you're not really sure it was the right turn, but you took the turn anyway, and you just kept going in that direction. Eventually, it starts to get light, and you look out, and you realize you have absolutely no idea where you are. So you get out at the next gas station, and you say, 'Hello, excuse me, can you tell me where I am?' You can read the signs. You've been on this road before. Do you want to go home? Do you want to go home now? Hello, excuse me, can you tell me where I am?" In our country, this is the way we say hello. It is a diagram of movement between two points. It is a sweep on the dial. In our country, this is also the way we say goodbye. Hello. Excuse me, can you tell me where I am? In our country, we send pictures of people making our sign language into outer space. We are speaking our sign language in these pictures. Do you think that they will think his arm is permanently attached in this position? Or do you think that they will read our signs? In our country, goodbye looks just like hello. Say hello. Say hello. Say hello.
How on earth does it make sense to have the same symbol mean what seems like opposite things? Hello and goodbye. Imagine making contact with someone whose language and whose ways you know nothing about, and coming to understand that this gesture they're making is a friendly greeting. You spend some time with them after that, learning small things about each other. Maybe you exchange names for some objects in the room. Candle. Book. Maybe you get to the point where you can learn that you each have an individual name and you can call each other by that name. And then there's this time of quiet that's got to happen, right? In which you wonder, what do I do now? Maybe it's time for the exchange to end. And they make this friendly greeting again. I imagine I might become a little disoriented at that. Excuse me, can you tell me where I am? Something I thought I had learned suddenly coming back in a way that I hadn't expected. So knowing whether we're saying goodbye or hello with a gesture means having some understanding of the context in which we are using it. Simple, right? If I'm waving while moving towards you, I'm saying hello. And if I turn around to someone, I'm waving goodbye. But I'm also waving hello to them. The gesture is the same, but the feeling is different. But the movement and the moment when I'm saying goodbye and hello are the same moment.
Our second reading comes from the American poet Linda Gregg. What things are steadfast? Not the birds. Not the couple to be married who hurry in their brevity to reach one another. The stars do not blow away as we do. The heavenly things ignite and freeze, but not as her hair falls before you. Fragile and momentary we continue, fearing madness in all things huge and their requiring, managing as thin light on water, managing only greetings and farewells. We love a little, as the mice huddle, as the goat leans against my hand, as the lover's quickening writing time, making safety in the moment. This touching home goes far. This fishing in the air.
Sometimes spontaneity is best. Regardless of how we feel about these goodbyes and these hellos, it is the spaces in between those events in which we live our lives. Freddie's friend Danny got it right. It's the stuff between the beginning and the ending that we're here for, as she told Freddie. In a world where everything changes, where things end and begin all the time, sometimes the most important things are what we do along the journey in between. For Danny and Freddie, it was simple. It was about the sun and the moon. It was about happy times together. It was about the shade and people and children using that shade and colors and seasons. For us, I think it's a little more complicated. Certainly, it's about experiencing all there is to experience, about finding joy and fulfillment in our lives. And it's about learning about the world around us and the beings and the creatures that inhabit it with us. But I think it's also about being in relationship with each other, in ways that nurture each other's well-being. Working toward a world where nobody has to struggle to survive and in which all can thrive, so that the pain and suffering is not what has to be experienced by some or many. Buddhists believe that our individual essences don't end, that they come back to the world again and again as we seek enlightenment, absorbing the teachings of each life, of each event, of each moment that we live, until enlightenment, until the understanding of nature as a whole in which we are a part. And paying attention to the lessons that those experiences bring, and not just the lessons, but the experiences themselves, make the life we are living a richer one so that the teachings can be made real within them. I think this goes for all of the experiences between the hellos and the goodbyes, as well as those transitions themselves, hard as they can sometimes be to pay attention to. And then sometimes we come to a place where we can see that something is an ending in one context and a beginning in another.
Our third reading is an adaptation of a poem often attributed to the 20th century author, educator, and Presbyterian minister Henry Van Dyke. It is often offered during a time of dying or remembering someone who has died. I am standing upon the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her wide sails to the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength. I stand, watch her at length, until she hangs like a speck of white cloud just where the sea and sky come to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, "There, she is gone." "Gone where?" "Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large in mast and hull and spar as she was when she left my side, and she is just as able to bear her load of living freight to her destined port. Her diminished size is in me, not in her. And just at the moment when someone at my side says, "There, she is gone," there are other eyes watching her coming, and other voices ready to take up the glad shout, "Here she comes."
Thank you, Thomas. The leaf that falls from the tree and lands on the earth or in a pile of snow most certainly is unending. It has lived through the summer, the season of productivity, of life abundant. It has grown to its full size. It has made food for the tree. It has provided shade for humans and other creatures. And autumn has arrived, and with it rest for that leaf and an end to its individual life. But of course, as with many of the other lessons we learn from nature, that ending is also the beginning of a different purpose. For as the leaf decomposes and joins the water or the earth, the nutrients it holds go with it and provide food for the tree or the small plants that grow beneath it. In terms of energy in the natural world, endings are always also beginnings. Maybe that's why goodbye looks like hello. I take so much comfort in the theologies that take all things, that see all things as cycles. I seem predisposed this month to using pagan chants to illustrate ideas. This week it is, "We are a circle within a circle with no beginning and never ending." The pagans that I studied with see life as an ever-turning wheel, where each season moves into the next and the end of one is simply the beginning of another. So each event that is an ending is also a beginning. Death is an opening into whatever lies beyond and a way for those left behind to continue life in a different way. The ending of a relationship is the beginning of a new way of moving through the world. The ending of seventh grade is the beginning of eighth grade. And the ending of high school is the beginning of a whole suite of possibilities from which to choose. The ending of a career is the beginning of a new one or a retirement. The ending of dinner might bring the beginning of dessert. And the beginnings of things we want require endings. Can't eat your meat. You can't have your pudding if you don't eat your meat. Equal compensation for women requires the end of patriarchal thinking and systems. Freedom and liberation for all requires the end of white supremacy culture. Starting a family means ending couplehood, or at least a particular kind of couplehood. Moving into a home of one's own means leaving a home shared with others. Creating healthy habits means ending those unhealthy ones that sometimes we just love. As we move along the wheel, turning ever so slowly towards spring, let us be mindful of the endings that are also the beginnings we seek. May we remember that the return of the birds means they had to leave some other place, that the warming of the air means the end of skiing and skating and cuddling in front of fireplaces, that the beginning of the growing season means the end of the resting season. And may we mark the endings and bless the beginnings that are with us every day. Blessed be.